It's like fingernails on a chalkboard. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Richard. Good morning. Merry Christmas. I'd like to dedicate this sermon to Jesus. It's good to see you guys. We're continuing a series we started last week called Bethel's Christmas Carol. And before we get into that, I just want to let you guys know, in addition to our Christmas Eve service, next week, everybody say next week. Next week, we've got our annual Christmas program. So next week, we're going to have kids singing. We're going to have monkeys flying across the screen. Now, it's going to be really cool. We're going to have a lot of Christmas songs. It's a great time for you to invite your friends, family, neighbors out. If you've been waiting all year or for the right time to invite somebody to church next week, that's your big opportunity. Don't miss it, church. You don't want to blow it. So it's going to be a great time. It's going to be at our 9 and 11 o'clock service. If you could open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read two verses and we're going to pray. Luke chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Lord Jesus, help us today as we unravel and uncover some truth about you today found in your word. And God, I pray as we look upon you, King Jesus, you would both confront and convict us of who you are and who we are in relation to who you are today. Help us, Lord, today and grow in our understanding of you. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. So we are continuing a series about A Christmas Carol. Some of you guys may have read this before or saw the movie. I'm in the process of reading through it again. And my family, we actually watched Mickey's Christmas Carol this week. That's one of my favorite versions of it. But basically, the story of A Christmas Carol, written by Charles Dickens around 1840s, is about a crotchety old man named Ebenezer, who cared for nothing of the welfare for anyone else. He felt that he was not responsible to help anyone in need. It was only about him and himself. He had a heart that was absent of generosity. We see that Ebenezer wasted his life on the pursuit and the accomplishment of getting more savings, getting more money, building wealth for the future. But in doing so, he had a failure of really living life. Scrooge was on this inevitable course that all of us are on, to be confronted and convicted by not only who we really are, but who God really is. Everyone who knew Ebenezer, we're going to find out today. Last week, we talked about the past. And if you know the story, Ebenezer Scrooge was visited by three spirits or three ghosts. The ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. And if you have read or if you have seen the movie, you might remember that the ghost of Christmas present did something unique. He actually took Ebenezer on a tour of Christmas morning into the lives of his friends and family. And it was there where he was exposed to who he really was by hearing the thoughts of people that knew him best. We're going to get into that today, but you know, it's this time of year as a church we celebrate Christmas, and we're preparing for the anniversary of the Advent, or the coming of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. But most of the world is preparing for something much different. Most of the world is preparing itself for Star Wars Episode 9. Over $200 million in tickets have been sold before the movie even comes out. This is a franchise that has earned over $9 billion. And the good people at Disney are extremely wise and smart. They launched Disney Plus over the last month or so. Anybody got Disney Plus? And in addition to all this Star Wars hoopla, they started a new show called The Mandalorian. And it's got the internet crazy. there are memes and pictures and things everywhere, and they're all going crazy over a baby. Let's show this baby. Don't show it yet, just to let you know, if this is a spoiler alert. If you don't want to see it or hear what I'm about to say, just go la 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 la. Let's see this baby that the internet is exploding over. This is baby Yoda. Oh, this precious little green glob. Whatever he is. See, the thing that makes this baby so unique in The Mandalorian is this was a baby no one expected. Nobody in the Star Wars universe expected to find this baby. No one thought that a baby could capture the attention of so many people in so little time. If you are following along with the episodes of The Mandalorian, you realize everyone is looking for this baby. Many people are trying to kill the baby. There's even an elaborate plan to try to save the baby from harm. Starting to sound a little familiar, isn't it? See, but this baby had a purpose that hadn't fully been revealed. And much like Jesus in his birth, most people were unaware of the significance of this baby. This is where we really turn the page into the real baby, the real life of Christ. See, it's much like his birth then and now. Most people don't recognize the significance even during Christmas time. Because at Christmas, did you realize that most of the stuff about Christmas has little or anything to do with Jesus? Let's just give everybody a big pop quiz. When does the Christmas season begin? The day after Thanksgiving, right? Why? Because they told us that's when Black Friday is. And obviously Jesus cares about Black Friday. No. But we've been hoodwinked. We've been bamboozled into believing, for many of us, that Christmas is all about the stuff. But we're going to learn today, which is interesting and simple, but yet profound. Christmas makes Christ unavoidable. Christmas makes Christ unavoidable. See, every holiday season, we are hit with Christmas everything. Starting around October, Christmas becomes real in all the things. But what it makes us do, even the people in church, people outside of the church, people that are even agnostic or atheists, are confronted with this season we call Christmas. And if you're a person that asks questions, you must ask, why are we celebrating this season? And every time it goes back to Jesus. So Christmas makes Christ unavoidable. And we find this in the life of this guy, Ebenezer Scrooge. See, he was both confronted and convicted. We find out that he was visited by three ghosts, past, present, and future. And it's very similar to us by the Holy Spirit. We are both confronted and convicted by our past sin, by our present absence of a certain level of righteousness that only Jesus can adhere to. And of course, the future or the judgment to come. We see this in John 16, verse 8. It says, when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. See, for Scrooge, the spirit of Christmas present was a little bit like being a fly on the wall. If you ever walked into a room and people are talking, but when you walk in, they stop. You know they're up to no good. And it's kind of like sometimes you may have wished you could be on a fly on the wall to hear that conversation. Well, Scrooge was just like that. The ghost of Christmas present came to show him through his family and friends exactly how people saw him. He saw the reality of how he was seen through the eyes of others when they didn't think he was around. And the thing that is so disarming about that kind of vulnerability is that he had no defense. He could only sit and listen. And it was a raw, unfiltered view from the vantage point of the people that knew him best. And if you've read the book, they revealed his shortcomings. They revealed his quirks, his sins, and his downfalls. And see, the whole purpose behind these visitations of these three spirits was to get him to do one simple thing. The birth of Christ reminds us of something very, very similar. The goal of these three ghosts or these three spirits were to simply get Ebenezer Scrooge to repent of the direction that he was going in and the way that his heart was bent towards himself. See, as you read A Christmas Carol, you are left seeing the rawness and the sadness of a failed human being named Ebenezer. And the thing that is most interesting I find about him is that even though there was great sadness, this man was filled with all the money in the world. He could have bought and purchased anything he wanted except the thing he needed most. He couldn't buy himself love. He couldn't buy himself happiness. He couldn't buy himself peace. So for the very first time in his life, he was left to see himself for exactly the way he is. Now, what is very interesting about this is in this moment in the story, Scrooge does something a little bit unorthodox that I wish we all would do. He was left to respond to what he had been revealed to. And God wants to reveal things to us as well. We'll see in just a few minutes. But his response, Ebenezer's response, was humility. Humility. The downfall of humankind is pride. And everybody was quiet. I'll say it again. The downfall of humanity is pride. Go to any good men's group on a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock and get some coffee, and you'll see that there are men that are learning, praying that God would rid them of pride and to fill them with humility. See, normally what happens when you get the finger pointed at you or people begin to attack you or accuse you of things, we usually respond with our own brand of accusations, our own brand of attacks. You think that about me? Well, I think this about you. But that's not what happens. We see something so unique and so interesting, it's like a miracle. It's that this guy named Ebenezer, his heart began to soften. And it makes me ask the question, what would it cause, or what would cause you in your heart to soften before a holy God? See, all of us, no matter where we are in our relationship with God, maybe we've been walking with God for years, or maybe you're just exploring who this Jesus is. We all need our hearts to be softened before a holy God. Because what happens is if we don't continually allow God into our heart, our hearts will begin to grow cold. We'll begin to grow stagnant. And what we thought was generous 10 years ago, we think, I've already done that. I don't need to do that anymore. I'm already where I'm supposed to be. And our hearts can become cold and callous unless we continually allow God and invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into our heart and allow our hearts to get softened again and again and again. See, for Ebenezer Scrooge, it may have been the death of his friend or the visitation of these ghosts or a disastrous relationship. I don't know what it is for you. Sometimes these things harden us to life. But in the case of this guy, Ebenezer Scrooge, it softened his heart. And really, that's one of the purposes of why Jesus came in the first place. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 28. In Luke chapter 2, verse 28, we find this man on the scene. After Jesus was born, they take Jesus into the city with his mom and dad. And there's this man named Simeon who shows up. And it says in verse 28 that he took Jesus up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, for which you have prepared for the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled. Everybody say marveled. At those things which were spoken of him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, or said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Listen to this, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Did you know that God wants to reveal your heart? He wants to expose your heart. See, regardless of how good we look today, there's all kinds of stuff in our heart that God wants to get to. So you may have been at church for a long, long time. You might know scripture, may have memorized God's word, and you might lift up hands in church, and on the outside, you look really, really great. But there are still things inside of you that you don't want to expose to anybody else, and only you know it, and God knows it. And today, he wants to come and reveal that to you so that your heart can welcome him in and be softened by a holy God. See, part of the purpose of his coming is so that that heart can be revealed. See, Jesus has this uncanny way of getting our attention. And he's not afraid to use all the tricks in his book to get our attention. Basically, what I'm saying is that Jesus is unavoidable. You may think you can shake him, but you can't shake him for too long. See, there was a time when I was younger, before I knew Christ, that my mom would always want me to go to church with her. I'm from the South, and there's certain times a year you just had to go to church in the South. Anybody know, we used to call them CME Christians. Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. And I went through Christmas after Christmas, hearing Christmas songs, singing jingle bells, all that kind of stuff, hearing the message of Jesus being born, Christ the Lord, and it went in one ear and out the other ear. I appeased mama, but I didn't care about appeasing Jesus. But did you know what happens? Jesus is unavoidable because he wants to continue to speak to you even when you reject him. See, what happens is Jesus gets in your face even when you're not looking for him. You might be at work and all of a sudden somebody's peeping up over the cubicle. Hey, you ever know about Jesus? You can be in the grocery store and then somebody's got a testimony about what the Lord did. Probably somebody in here. You got a neighbor who wants to just talk to you, invite you to their church. Oh no, isn't that the worst ever? And it's like everywhere you go is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Can't go through Hobby Lobby and there's Jesus everywhere. Jesus is unavoidable. That's one of the real blessings of Christmas. Christmas makes Christ unavoidable. It's almost like you have full vent permission during this season to talk about Jesus. They probably won't even fire you this time of year. That wouldn't be Christmassy, would it? Let's look at Luke chapter 12. You know, the thing about this that is, or Luke chapter 2, one more time in verse 15, that is amazing is that Jesus should make us in awe of who he is. You know, we should be in awe that Jesus was born. I think some of us, we take that for granted because Christmas comes every year. Every year we hear about Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. But do you really ever marvel of Christmas? Do you ever really marvel at the idea of what God has done? Let's look at this in 15 and 18 in Luke chapter 2. It says, so it was when the angels, many of you guys may have heard this before, the shepherds were out in the field, and then this happens. It says, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds, they said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And it says, all those who heard what had happened, that Jesus, the Son of God, was born, it said they marveled. Do you know that word marveled? It means to be filled with wonder and astonishment. It says they marveled at those things which they were told to them by the shepherds. And it just made me ask this question to myself, and I want to ask you as well. Do you still marvel at Christmas? When is the last time you reflected on Christmas that surpasses all the stuff, surpasses all the gifts, surpasses all the lights, surpasses all the joys of what the food is and what's on television that night? But when is the last time you marveled at Christmas? See, people marveled when Jesus was born. The appearance of Jesus Christ in the flesh was so astonishing and so amazing that wise men, shepherds, dropped everything that they did. Why would they do that? It's because they got a glimpse of something that the rest of the world did not understand. See, the incarnation, Jesus putting on flesh, coming into the world, that meant that hope was on the way. It meant that I needed hope. It meant that we needed hope. It meant that we needed a Savior. It meant that we needed to be rescued. It meant that hope had entered the world and light had come into the darkness. Jesus is so unavoidable because we need Him. We need Him. We need help that only He can provide. So one of the big problems is no one likes to admit when we need help. Anybody have a hard time asking for help? We don't like this. It's because of pride. And we talked about that a minute. It's because of pride. We don't like admitting that we need help from anybody. Ask a group of men if they need help. No, we can do that. I'm a soldier. I can do anything. We don't like to ask help from anybody, but I just want to tell you a story today as I end. And as I ask you this question, do you need help? You know, there is this guy named Ebenezer Scrooge. It's interesting that Charles Dickens, right around the 1840s, he wrote the story. He could have named this guy anything. Matter of fact, when I was doing research, I was like, where did he get this name from? And why do I see churches named Ebenezer Baptist Church? Why would they want to name their church after that loser? And so, I went to Papa Google. And I found out a few things. See, his name means stone of help. And I thought that was quite peculiar. It's actually found in the Bible. Did you know that? The name Ebenezer, the word Ebenezer, it's actually used in the Bible 3 times. And it's actually a story that surrounds it. The people of God in the Old Testament, they had just experienced a loss in battle, which was not all too common. They had this devastating military loss. And it left them in a state of great sadness. They were so sad, they started to call out to God. And they started to call out to Him with all they had in their hearts, which had turned from Him. As they started to call out to God, their hearts started to turn back towards God again. And then God heard their cries. You know, He hears yours too. When you need help, did you know that God hears you? Just say, mm-hmm. And then the God of the universe, He heard their cries. And it says that He helped them. And then they won the next battle. You can see this in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. There was a great defeat, a great sadness. And then there was a great deliverance. And the prophet Samuel, to remember what God had done, the Bible says that he took a stone and he used it as a memorial and he called it the stone of help. In their language, it's Ebenezer. And he used that stone to remind them of what God had done. It's interesting about that is in A Christmas Carol, God did the same thing for Ebenezer. He was a man that suffered great loss. His past had destroyed him as a man. He had great sadness, but through the grace and mercy of an almighty God, he opened up his eyes and revealed his heart. He responded in humility. And then the trajectory of his life was altered. If you've read the story, you know that joy entered his heart and things were different by the end of the story. Do you know God can do the same thing for you? But one thing I just want to be very honest with you about, God didn't change the Israelites' past. He didn't change Ebenezer's past. And he's not going to change your past. The past is gone. He didn't change Ebenezer's current situation. He may not change your current situation. But what he did do was he brought him help. And the help that God provides will change the trajectory of your future. See, this is the good news today. See, the good news is that your past may not change, your current situation may not change, but the reality that there is a God who hears you, who sees your crying, who knows your pain, he can come into that void, fill it with himself, soften your heart as you repent to a holy God, and joy and peace will fill your heart. And it will change the way you look. It'll change the direction and the trajectory of your life. You know, one of the greatest parts of all this is that God offers a stone of help for you today. The stone of help is Jesus. He's the stone of help. It only requires you to acknowledge that you need that help. I don't know where you are with God, but I tell you what, there's been times before Jesus and during Jesus, I needed help. And if I was really honest, there'd be times I need help in the future. I'm really asking this question to reorient what you see when you look at Christmas. Christmas should be our memorial. That Jesus has helped us, that he has come in the flesh, that he offers help to you, not just 2,000 years ago, but when you call on the name of Jesus, you will be saved. Joy and life can flood into your soul. And I tell you what, when you have joy, when you have faith, all things are possible. Someone say amen. Can you say amen to that? Well, let's pray. King Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you have come to deliver us from darkness, from sin.